Blog Talk Radio.
South and Dirty Prime Time Special with Pascal Smith, Stacey Hopkins in the house.
Hey.
Well,
yeah,
everybody,
with
Sunday, y'all, we had a little technical difficulties. We think it was a conspiracy theory that we were shut down because we was talking about labor and getting folks some money and alleviating poverty. So if they was mad at us Sunday, they mad at us now. We got folks calling in already. Who is this calling in already?
Now, see, folks aren't paying attention. Now, when I started posting this, I said 8:30. But if you called in, just hang on. We're going to get to you in a second.
We'll get to you in a second, caller. But tonight we're talking about straight out of Georgia, not Compton. Not Scottsdale, but Georgia. Not Dunwoody, but Georgia.
But wait a minute. You saying it like a true Southern Georgia. You went real deep with that one, Georgia. You
Georgia.
Are countryer than corn. You know that?
Yes, I am. I ain't gonna doggone deny. But we had Senator Bernie Sanders make two stops in the dirty this past week. He stopped in Savannah on Sunday, and he was here in Hotlanta yesterday. I was madder than Boy. I'm mad at Boss Hog. We're chasing Boy Luke Duke because I couldn't get
you
down there.
Came, man. You
I had to
came.
Work. Had to get that dollar bill,
know.
Y'all. I got to get my money, but I was glad you left me out there.
You my second husband. You supposed to be my ride or die, and you left
got,
me out there by myself. But that's okay, because I was in real good company.
Me and Big Daddy got to make the money. But
that's right. You got to make mommy happy.
Right. So anyway, you was down now. So
yes. Yes, I was down.
Let's see.
Where should I start? I volunteered, and I was one, you know, I RSVP'd, and myself, a couple of black burners, Anoa Changa was there. It was kind of a mini reunion, some Occupy Atlanta people were also there. Georgia for Bernie Sanders. There was a lot of people there representing that. Nick Langley, Susanna Duran, I believe Rebecca Joy was there. Let's see, we had Daniel Hanley, who's also with DSA. It was just a whole group of us who were there. So it was a really good time. The Fox Theater, if you've never been inside the Fox Theater, it has got to be one of the most beautiful buildings. It was built by the Shriners back in the early 30s, I believe. A lot of Egyptian themes. It is just simply gorgeous. So we got to hang out in the theater a little bit before the event started, and his staff. I mean, it was, the vibe was just so beautiful. Attendance, I believe, was 5,000. The house was packed, absolutely packed. People were lining up. I got there at 2:00, and there were already people starting to line up. But it was a really, really beautiful vibe, and great people there. Let's see. We basically hyped up the crowd, and from what I understand, there's some video out there of me. You know, I can't resist the turn up, you know. So we went out there and we hyped the crowd outside, and then we did some hyping up inside, which there's also some more video. There were a couple of light brigade signs out there, and we brought it. There was a guy named Adam. He had a Bernie mask, and he was doing a Bernie impersonation. People were feeling good because the liquor was flowing. You know, the Fox, they got a bar. We should do all events at the Fox.
I heard
that's the way to do it.
At a Republican, and in a Republican debate, because we're no telling what they'll do after you let them loose. But let me go ahead and see what this caller wants, because they've been holding him for about 5 minutes. Now, let me make some rules for the callers and so they understand. You get 3 to 5 minutes, and then we're going to cut you off, because, you know, we got to get on with the show. So I'm going to take this call.
Okay.
Hello, caller. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. I thought it started at 8. I'm just calling to listen in. This is
okay.
Minnie Ruffin from Atlanta, Georgia.
Minnie, how you doing? The DSA.
Oh, fine. Stacy, I saw on my Facebook it said 8 o'clock.
Yes, we started at 8 o'clock. You know you can listen online, Minnie.
I can?
Yes, ma'am. Yeah.
I didn't realize that. I don't need to tie my phone up there.
No, ma'am. You can listen online. Just click on that link on the Facebook page, and it'll take you to the show landing page. But we love talking to you anyway. Well, wait a minute. Miss Minnie was there, so how did you feel about the event,
Minnie?
I thought
it was great. I thought the crowd was very enthusiastic. In fact, the people sitting in my session wouldn't sit down the whole night. I thought they would be glad to have seats because at the last Bernie rally, there were no seats for people. But this time, they had seats and they wouldn't sit down.
Well, you know, that's the Bernie effect, I guess. You know, and every other line was you know, we were standing up and cheering and, you know,
and Killer Mike was really good. He was a great person to introduce Bernie.
Look, after Killer Mike, I was ready to go home. I forgot about Bernie.
He was so great with his introduction. I like the fact that he said, "What about the Reagan era?" He didn't want to waste his life in the Reagan era again.
Yeah.
And we don't need own Margaret Thatcher.
That was the line. Wow. The Margaret Thatcher line, that was the line. And anybody who's familiar with Killer Mike's work,
a killer line.
Yeah, it was. But that's Killer Mike for you. He has dropped some knowledge in his work, and he actually did a song about Reagan that Killer Mike fans are well familiar with. But it was really good seeing you out there and seeing everybody. It was like Minnie said, it was nothing but love in that room. And we just had the best time.
And you volunteers really stirred up the crowd, I think.
Well, you
with
don't
your
mean
Bernie light brigades and all of the rah 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 you all did, and the Bernie mask.
Yeah, we did a lot, and I'm paying for it today. I don't know how Bernie does it, because I was about whipped when I left yesterday, and it was really really a good event. What were the issues that he brought up that really did it for you?
The ones that I care about, like any income inequality and the high levels of incarceration in these prisons by incarcerated blacks and brown people.
Right.
What else you talked about? equal pay for women, the $15 an hour wage. By the way, Berkeley, California went to a $15 an hour, too. You can add that to the list.
Yeah, hopefully we'll add Atlanta one of these days.
Maybe so. It might not be as long as you think.
I hope not. I keep hearing it, but I can't tell. So, I'm just going to wait and see, hopefully. There's going to be two bills dropping in the House and the Senate, Georgia House and Senate. Dewey's dropping one, and Dewey McClain, and State Senator Vincent Ford.
Ford said he was going to drop one.
Yeah, so hopefully they'll get past this session. People just got to push for it.
Right.
That's a whole nother show right there.
I'm glad that Bernie mentioned that it shouldn't matter what country you came from, because there were some undocumented immigrants standing
on
the chair.
I was going to talk about that. Yeah, Freedom U, you had some folks from Freedom University who were in the House, and they were sitting like behind me. And, they had their signs there. And Bernie kind of addressed some of their issues, but the problem is, right, but here's the problem, what they're going through is actually on the state level. It's the state of Georgia that's preventing them from doing that. But a president can certainly bring forth some federal legislation.
She can set the tone.
Right. He can set, people, they'll scream tyranny and, all that other stuff. But, they came here, they were brought to this country. They
and
lived
some
in
were
country
babies
all these
when
years.
They came.
Right. And let them go to school on the intuition rate. I mean, they've been here all their lives. They don't know anything else. So, why would we deny anybody from trying to get an education and bettering themselves at the cheapest rate possible? I mean, come on.
I was kind of sensitive to that issue because Ann Money and I had just gone on Saturday to the Stewart Detention Center.
Right.
Azadeh Shashashani was talking about how badly they are treated in that detention center. And then some people are deported and they don't know anything about Mexico. They've been over here since they were babies and then they get deported to Mexico. Mm. How would you feel if you didn't know any other country and then you found out that you came from another country? And they were going to send you to that other country you know nothing about. Some of them don't even know the language.
So
I don't know how you survive that. That's a bad way to treat people.
Well, there's a lot of things we do that aren't right. But hopefully we have a presidential candidate for the Democratic nomination who will begin with. And one of the things that he said, and he's been saying this more often, he can't do it alone. And,
I
think the crowd got that, because we remember, we've got context to look back in President Obama's two presidencies and how the ball got dropped in 2010 and 2012 and 2014 with the House and Senate. So maybe people will wake up and start looking at the down ballot races, but all in all, his speech was fantastic. So,
and that's why he talks about a political revolution. That's
right.
And people are beginning to understand that now, I think.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So,
I was still disappointed that I didn't see that much coverage on the mainstream media. In fact, I didn't see any on the mainstream media.
There's some, but not much. But I mean, do we really expect that? I mean, we have to create our own media, which is why Scout and I like to do, you know, pro Bernie shows and help get the word out. There's a lot of groups doing that, but at this point, I mean, we pretty much know what to expect from mainstream media. We know what we're not going to get, and that the media is kind of one of the ways that money and politics work, and that's a show that Scout and I have been talking about doing. William Perry, if you're listening, I'm trying to get you, dude. So,
Sorry, I've talked my time up. Okay.
Well, you can find the link on Minnie, and just keep listening to us, okay?
Okay,
just click
then.
On the link.
Thank you.
Thank you, Minnie.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That was Miss Minnie Ruffin. She just received an award at the Democratic Socialists of America, the Atlanta chapter. They had their Douglas and Debs dinner. And they surprised her with an award. It was the highlight of the night. Minnie is kind of like, she's a patron saint
right.
of the Atlanta community.
If you've ever had a chance to do any action with activists in the Atlanta area, particularly as the Democratic Socialist, you will see Miss Minnie. I mean, that's
and
when I know. It's
grandmothers
a, if
of peace.
If I'm at an action and I see Miss Minnie, then I know it's the real thing.
That's right, because Minnie ain't
you
playing. And,
that this is a serious event if you see Miss Minnie. So,
and she shows up. She shows up and she brings the cavalry. So we got a lot of love for Miss Minnie Ruffin. Deborah Post was there. Deborah was doing what she always does, giving 120%. Really appreciated her. There were so many people we saw there. Gary Cameron, Atlanta Independent Media, he's got the video up, and it's on my Facebook page. I will put it on the Down South and Dirty page. Please go check it out.
I also heard of George Cheadie. George Cheadie was there because he was live tweeting and live Facebooking the whole event.
You know what? I was out there. I was just out there. And towards the end, I was just exhausted. But I didn't see George. Who I didn't see out there? Yeah, I didn't see too many people from the Democratic Party of Georgia. And if they were there, they sure was on the down low. But I don't, did they send out a memo or something saying if you showed up, you would be shot?
Sarah Todd was there.
Okay.
She was there. She said how she held, because some folks asked where I was, and they said, you must have been busy. And I was like, yes, I was at work. And Sarah said, came in here. So there was some DPG folks there. There was some rank-and-file Democrats and some county party people, because there were folks like Patrick Maxwell from Baldwin County. He came all the way from Milledgeville, and he is a very active young man over at the campus over there in Milledgeville, Georgia. I think it's Georgia Central, and you know he was our guy on the ground for Dr. Rad in that part of Georgia. Patrick came over. He's very active in the Baldwin County Democratic Party. He was over with some of his friends from the campus over there. I've seen some names. I'm trying to think about who they were. I can't take my top of my head, but I've seen some folks from West Georgia that were in the house when they, you know, taking pictures and whatnot. Because everybody was taking so many pictures. I mean, it was just social media was just flooded. Twitter and Instagram and Facebook was flooded with plenty of pictures, because I was sitting here, you know, trying to keep up with everybody since I couldn't come down there because I was at work. But, you know.
I know. We missed you. Well, the next time, because, definitely that the activist community was definitely represented. I met some couple of Facebook friends, some ardent Bernie supporters, Christopher Cox, Homer Maxwell was there. If you've been on Facebook long enough, you've seen a post from Homer Maxwell. He was there. And but I think the night, let's see, the night, okay, first Simone Sanders comes out, and it was like, you know, we wanted to see Nina Turner, but, you know, Simone, mad love for you, girl, mad love. She didn't, you know, she came out, she did a brief intro, and then she went in to introduce Killer Mike. Killer Mike, if you haven't seen the tape yet or heard the speech, my boy came out and he basically dropped the mic. That was one of the best. We was just sitting back there going, oh, my God. I think at some part, some of the white people in the room got a little nervous, but we, all the black people in the room, we were loving it.
But
we absolutely loved that speech.
We got it. So let's play it. Yes, play it so everybody get a feel for what's going on. Here we go. Kill him.
All right, hit him up.
Oh, I am truly, truly honored to be here. I am from Atlanta, Georgia, and I say that proudly. I repeat, I am from Atlanta, Georgia, and I say that proudly. If you're from Atlanta, Georgia, you may be familiar with a young man who grew up not far from here. His name was Martin King. Now I know this is the part where usually it's a black minister in front of you, and usually you get all warm and cozy inside, and usually you hear about I Have a Dream and us holding hands and going for ice cream. That's not why I'm here today. I'm not here to talk about benevolent politicians that are going to come and save the day for you. I'm not here to talk about a dream that we think is unattainable, so we settle for less. I'm not here to talk about a utopian society where everyone is forgiven and no one has to pay for past debt. I'm talking about, what I'm talking about today is the Martin King post the Washington March, Martin King present the war on poverty, Martin King against the war machine that uses your sons and your nephews to go to other lands and murder. I'm talking about a revolutionary. I have no time in my short 40 years on this earth to relive the Reagan years. I have no time. I have no desire to see us elect our own Margaret Thatcher. I am here as a proponent for a political revolution that says health care is a right of every citizen. I'm here because working class and poor people deserve a chance at economic freedom. And yes, if you work 40 hours a week, you should not be in poverty. That's why I'm here. I didn't come here to lollygag because I rap. This could be y'all last time seeing me because I got tours to go on, I got jets to fly on, and I ain't lying on. But while I'm here, I have to tell you that in my heart of hearts, I truly believe that Senator Bernie Sanders is the right man to lead this country. And I believe it because he, unlike any other candidate, said, I would like to restore the Voting Rights Act. He, unlike any other candidate, said, I wish to end this illegal war on drugs that disproportionately targets minorities and poor. Unlike any other candidate in my life, he says that education should be free for every citizen of this country. Now I only have a few minutes, but as I read the Atlanta Journal and Constitution's comments about me speaking tonight, one jumped out at me and it broke my heart. It says, I don't listen to rap and I'll no longer be listening to Bernie Sanders. And I just want to say that whoever wrote that, before I was a rapper, I was a son of Atlanta. Before I ever wrote one rhyming word on paper, before that, I was a black man in America. And before I ever learned how to dance a jig, I gave a damn about American politics. I gave a damn about the people of America, and I took to the streets and I advocated. So, I know I'm preaching to the choir tonight. I know there are not a lot of voices of dissension out there. I know I'm preaching to the choir, but I'm here to tell you, stay encouraged, stay invigorated, stay bold, stay confronting bullshit at every turn. Make sure that wherever you go, make sure that wherever you go, you take the name, the ideas, the philosophy, and the ideology of Bernie Sanders there, and you make sure when you leave, they are on fire because they have felt the burn.
All right.
I have a line from one of my raps, and I'm going to get out of your way. I have said in many a rap, I don't trust the church or the government, a Democrat, Republican, a Pope or a Bishop or those other men. But after spending 5 hours tonight, after spending 5 hours with someone who has spent the last 50 years radically fighting for your rights and mine, I can tell you that I am very proud tonight to announce the next president of the United States, Senator Bernie Sanders. Everyone give him a round of applause.
Well, that was it, and when y'all can't hear and when the dead spots after he spoke, that was the crowd kind of going wild. We were going bananas, and I was like the third row from the stage, which is probably the only time I will be in the third row at the Fox. But that was, his stage presence, his delivery, his words. Everybody in that room got it, and it was like all he had to do was drop the mic. I'm spent. I'm gone. And it's just the most perfect intro for Bernie to come in. Like Lenny said, the line that got me was the Margaret Thatcher line. We know who he's talking about. And when you think about it, and everybody go, that was like an aha moment. People were like, oh, yeah. Is like Max, that was, a good line. And whoever wrote that comment and pissed him off, well, I don't think it really pissed him off. I think he was genuinely hurt from that comment. And Killer Mike, if you're listening, don't ever read the AJC comments. And if you do, take them with a grain of salt, or you'll be in a constant state of rage. But I think he was truly hurt. But I tell you what, I think that made him even more determined to do this and kind of quote some of his comments. All I know is if something ever happens to me, y'all get Killer Mike to do my eulogy. And if y'all don't, I'm going to come back and spook every single one of y'all. But that was the moment of the night. Bernie was, of course, fantastic, but, we were getting calls. I was getting calls and texts from people who were watching it going, y'all, Killer Mike is spitting all this about this dude here, and the picture of him and Bernie Sanders eating at the Busy Bee. The Busy Bee is they were blowing that up, and that the hood was like, oh, hell yeah. So I think this was a game changer in terms of certain demographic.
I know I saw on social media a lot of my, friends and whatnot, who are major fans of hip hop, who live in, hip hop is their life, and they look at folks like Killer Mike. Killer Mike comes from that lineage,
the Dungeon family,
that you can trace all the way back to KRS-One.
Right.
That type of rapper, one who's always, talked about consciousness. And this, that, and other, but spit dope lyrics at the same time. So for them to come out and say, hey, Bernie Sanders, Killer Mike, oh, Bernie got this. And now they're going back and saying, Bernie talking outside, who the hell is Hillary?
Right. Because, then Bernie follows it up by talking about, youth unemployment, particularly in the African-American community and the Latino community, mass incarceration, education, one of the lines, education and jobs over jails and mass incarceration. That's a tagline right there.
It was a perfect marrying up, seeing as that one of the things that we've all, particularly for us as black burners, for us, we've always had this situation of how do we open the door to our community to let them start here? Because I'm going to tell you what happened. Now, it used to be that it was the black church that disseminated information, but as we talked about in the show just a couple of weeks ago, it is becoming your barbershops and your salons. And the folks that are talking in the barbershops and salons are the same type of people who listen to Killer Mike. So now you got this conversation you're going to start hearing them this week. People are going to be talking mm-hmm. about, well, Bernie Sanders this, and Bernie this, and Bernie that. And I promise you that we going to start seeing a bump. And you know, as the one article said, this is like the tortoise and the hare. Hillary come out like the hare, Bernie's the tortoise. But slow and steady wins the race. Because if you start off at the top, you ain't got but one direction to go, and that's down. And Hillary came into this race with everybody being the front runner. I would never, ever want to get into a political race being the front runner from the time the gate opened up. Because mm-hmm. at that point, everybody's focused on you taking you down. And see, the thing
get
about
up
Bernie,
you got.
But the thing about Bernie has not focused on necessarily taking her down, but bringing us up. Bringing us up out of poverty, bringing us up to speed on what is really going on in American politics. You're like everybody's been saying, this is a revolution. This is way past the movement. This is a revolution. We are fighting, people. Fighting for the very survival of the American Republic. Because mm-hmm. if we all, students of history, have seen that you had the Rome was a republic before it was an empire. Okay, Greece was a democracy. You even had the Florentine Republic. You had the French Republic turn into an empire. Hell, if you're a Star Wars fan, you've seen the Galactic Republic turn into the Galactic Empire. It's always we are in a position now where we are fighting, not with guns and bullets, but we're fighting with our hearts and our souls. And our main weapon is the ballot box. And we have billionaires who are willing to spend all the money that they can to make sure that the system remains slanted in their direction. They are making it seem like for small business owners that you're on the same level with Goldman Sachs and Walmart. You're not. They're looking for a way to crunch you, to squeeze you out too. They're trying to make you think you can one day be them. And the way the system is set up, that you will never be them. Only with electing someone like Bernie Sanders can we ever see the rebirth of the American dream. And we have to take this seriously. And with Killer Mike making that intro, opening that door, and we got a step closer in this battle to winning that revolution.
And then, you know, what really stands out for me is that Killer Mike was one, if you listen to some of his work, you know, and he even mentioned it in his speech, you know, where he had little faith in government or the church. And for him to come out and endorse Bernie Sanders and show the love that he did that day, that really meant something. And I think that's part of Bernie's appeal. You know, I saw an article today in The Atlantic about how conservatives, you know, they're looking at their side and going, meh. And, they're like, you know, looking at Bernie and going, yeah, that's what's up. And But I really hate when people go, well, you know, he's like a Carson or a Trump. No. Well, I mean, in terms of, you know, being having
that. No.
I can't go for that. So.
Please. He is nowhere an idiot.
Go ahead.
He is close to being a doggone blatant racist. Because, you know, speaking of Donald, you can't even you've never seen Bernie Sanders sick his supporters on an opponent. I mean, Black Lives Matter came to Bernie. Bernie let him take the stage. Black Lives Matter showed up at a Trump.
They were his ass. They were his ass. But we're not talking about Donald Trump, because Donald Trump got problems of his own. He just hired, didn't he just hire a staff as an African American? Or she's a Tea Partier, or she does have some African American heritage. They need to do some work. They need to put a leash on Donald. But, you know, that ain't our problem, because between you and me, I don't let Donald win the nomination. Go ahead. Then it's 100% done as far as the GOP race. And, you know, the GOP, they need to come to terms. They need to come to terms. You know, they keep saying, well, we don't have racists in that group. Everybody keeps calling us a racist. Well, may I point to Exhibit A? Ladies and gentlemen, may I present you Exhibit A? Talk to your people. You know, this is it. And I think what's more scary is not Donald Trump, but the Donald Trump supporters. That's even more scary. But this is about Bernie and the rallies and the love. Let's talk about Savannah real quick.
Yeah, let's talk about Savannah, because he was down there. And, you know, for all my non-Georgia listeners, you know, there's a connection here that you might not realize. But in the olden days, way back before this place called Atlanta was named Terminus, it was actually the first capital of the state of Georgia was the city of Savannah. I mean, this is where Savannah was where the state was first settled. I mean, so we had Bernie drop off in the place where Georgia started, and then he comes out where Georgia's future is now, the city of Atlanta. And so let's talk about the Savannah rally.
Yeah, Bernie showed up. Yeah, he definitely packed the house down there. I don't think there's been any place where he hasn't packed the house. I know him. He was in Beaufort, South Carolina this weekend. The venue only held 200, 400 people showed up. And we're going by news reports, if someone has been at the Savannah rally and want to tell us about it, call us at 657-383-0995, or if you just want to call and say how you feel with the burn, call in. But we're going off of what's on on the internet and in the news. But he was at the Johnny Mercer Theater, just like here in Atlanta. People started lining up early, and they packed the house. It was a very diverse crowd, just like in Atlanta. We had a lot of diversity. And we had a lot of black burners out there. That was really good to see. They say he came in, and I think it was $2,500 for the venue, and they were scrambling to find seats. His intro was made by Mayor Edna Jackson. Mayor Edna Jackson is going through some things down there in Savannah. It's a nasty race that's going on down there. So, if you're in Savannah, of course you know about it, you know, Chatham, Glenn County, all that. But if you're not, just Google Edna Jackson, Savannah, and what's going on there is just some high-ish.
She got that true dirty South politician stuff going on down there. I mean,
yeah, because you got Atlanta, and then you got the rest of for me. You know, you look at the map of Georgia and you see Atlanta and everything else is out of town. And once you leave Atlanta, things get a little different. You know, you kind of see a little bit of it in Atlanta, but when you get down that way, when you start going down to South Georgia, things get a little different. So Stacy doesn't do it in South Georgia. I love y'all, but I'm of an age, I still remember my people, you know, sundowner towns, you know, there's certain towns, I'm like, we got to get back to Atlanta before it gets dark. I'm just,
if it gets dark, you lock up like you in Sodom and Gomorrah.
Or look, we spending the night. Don't even go out to get ice. We'll be all right till the morning. And then the morning you pack up and you eat breakfast and you get gone.
Hey, you got the first watch. You two folks in there playing cards. You know what I'm saying? We done been here sometimes. You heard something?
You heard something. What was that?
Yeah.
I mean,
hey, you ain't never seen different. Hey, don't get it twisted now. So, you know, if you got them type trips going on, you do see Democrats that be packing. Because I don't know what's going on there. I remember a trip that we was taking, and somebody told me and Dr. Rad, you know, I hope somebody got a Roscoe with them. I'm like, yeah, Roscoe in my little bag. Here, we good. So I don't carry Roscoe no more, but like that. So he's not in the little blue bag. Roscoe might be somewhere else. So cause
I ain't saying.
Yeah,
I'm like Stephen Colbert. You got sweetness, and you know it ain't me. It's sweetness, you know. So I ain't saying sweetness don't want to talk. So we're just gonna leave that the way it is. But I'm not a big gum person. I'd rather just.
From what I understand, I'm
busting the head with a rock or something. But
that was in Birmingham, I want to say, and during this parade, the news people, when it came up, it was a float with Bernie supporters on it, and the news blacked out. That portion of the
they ain't mad as they. I think they're a little mad.
Bernie, then it kind of like cut away for a second, and then once the Bernie float passed by, it cut back in. It was like, really?
Now, you know, that's just blatant dirtiness, you know. But see, here's the thing. Whether the media gives him coverage or not, his message is spreading. So you can, you know, I'm one of the ones, I don't trip out and get all pissed off because the mainstream media is not covering Bernie. Because we have, right, the word is getting out. We're spreading the word. All my, you know, I'm throwing out mad love to the armchair activists because I swear if you on Facebook, it's nothing but Bernie all day, every day. So, you know, we're working around the mainstream media, and I think it's kind of good to show that they're not, it's good for the people and mainstream media to know that the script is flipped. We don't really need you anymore. You know, it'd be nice if we had you, but we got this.
You know, small podcasts like this, YouTube videos, folks on, you know, using Periscope, Meerkat, you know, everyone.
Oh, yeah.
We got folks out there that are putting out. This is because this is, like we said, this is a revolution. You know, if
right.
You want to know what's going on with Bernie Sanders, what you know, what's going on and how these things connect with some of the other things that's going on in the world, listen to Down South and Dirty. We're going to tell it. And the great thing about it, you know, I hear this from people who call, you know, who call me and send me messages during the show or whatever and say, you know what, I have a friend of mine that lives in LaGrange. And
you
was
and
talking
your
about
friend.
Yeah, he was sitting there saying, Kevin Goodson is his name. He used to be a member of the Democratic Party down there with me. Me and him were sitting there talking about it. Shout out to you, Kevin. But he said, you know, the one thing he liked about our show, it was like sitting on the porch talking to your friend.
Oh. Well, thank you, Kevin. That's the feel we were going for.
That's what I told him. That's what was, you know, we want to bring you this information in a way that you understand it. We ain't trying to talk over your head and you know, use a whole bunch of academic language.
Them SAT words. You
yeah,
know, I mean, although we can use them.
We are capable of using such terminology and language. But we're not trying to go over your head. We're trying to bring it to you where you feel it, so you can understand it, so you can go back and disseminate it and about get it right. You know, you ain't got to go look in the dictionary and find out. You understand, because we're going to talk to you in a way that we would talk as if we were friends.
And we're not trying to say that y'all are stupid out there or anything, but, you know, there's one thing, you know, like, no one ever watches the local news and says, I don't understand what they just said. But some people will watch NPR and go, I my head hurts, I need to, what was that word, or what you say about my mama? You know, them kind of things. So we really want to present it in an easy, so we're not trying to.
Right, and we also trying to bring it to you in a way that you can go talk to other folks about it, or you can understand what is the consequences for you at home. Because, you know, now, we didn't do a dirty list today, but I'm going to give you a quick little dirty. You know, we had all these people complaining about Africa. And all was going, and we did a show about it. Now, I'm going to sit there and tell you, the ratings for that show was not as good as when we're talking about Bernie. But Bernie and African terrorism and all of that stuff mix up into one, people. If you complain about what the mainstream media is not telling you, we sure not trying to tell you, because Stacey would tell you, I'm always coming off with some oddball story that I want to talk about that may be, you know, we need to
y'all
talk about.
Y'all don't understand my struggle. This man will call me.
I want to tell y'all.
Y'all
got to
understand my struggle.
Y'all don't understand her struggle, because she had to be trying to, and she'd be like, Scout, look, we can't go there. We cannot go there because these folks, nobody has a remote idea what you're talking about. But they need to know. They need to know. And she'd be like,
then I'll go,
down.
Okay, we're going to do it. Oh, we're going to do it. And we end up doing it anyway. But, you know, I mean, we do try to put y'all up on game.
Let you know exactly what's going on in this world that's going on around you, because guess what? The mainstream media is not going to talk to you about Bernie Sanders. Not until we actually win this revolution and he becomes the nominee and the next president of the United States, and then they're going to talk about him all the time. Then it's going to be
a lot of people going to be our friends after this is over. You know, I was down with Bernie from the beginning. Yeah, I thought you'd say that. But like my grandmother used to always say, I'm trying to put y'all up what's going on uptown. And
right.
Bernie's trying to do that. We're trying to do that. We're trying to tell you what's going on uptown. And Scout and I are kind of, we kind of have connections where, you know, we keep their close to ground, listen for a train. And sometimes we see these trains coming and we're trying to let y'all know. Now, if you're going to let the train hit you, well, then that's on you. But
no,
you can't say you didn't know. So,
we're going to tell
but,
you.
Let's go back to Savannah for a minute, because Bernie did, I think, he probably did the same thing in Savannah what he did here. He hit everything. And I'm looking here that he talked about economic disparities, which was very notable in Atlanta, because Atlanta is the number one city for income inequality. And he also talked about the legalization of marijuana and education. Education is going to be a hot topic. It always is every election year, because every election year we got to fix our schools. And after the election, nobody gives a damn about the schools, and it's kind of, you know, a cycle. But, you know, I think one of his biggest applauses in Savannah was when he talked about making public universities tuition free. That was also a big crowd pleaser here. Marijuana, when he talked about decriminalizing marijuana and taking it out of the Controlled Substance Act, you know, we're in Atlanta. We got a lot of 420s in here, and that definitely brought the house down. And he, you know, for those who are freaking out, he's, you know, he still believes that legalization should be up for the state, for them to do that individually. But what he wants to do is to take it away from, you know, the effects that you get from the federal law. So that's definitely a good thing, and people love that. There was only two things in Savannah. He accidentally called Savannah Atlanta. It can happen. I mean, there's nothing. You drive through the state, nothing but light poles and pine trees anyway. Everything looks alike. But and in Atlanta, we had a gentleman on stage who fell out. And if y'all saw the live stream, I was the one who yelled, "Is there a doctor in that house?" That was me. Because I was really scared, because at one point they were doing, like, you know, CPR on old boy. But I tell you what, there was some United Nurses United. All the nurses in the room, they just went into go mode. I was like, will you look at that? But I understand he's okay. I think he was a little dehydrated, and, you know, you got to wear layers and strip down when you have to. But he's all right. But what was funny, Bernie came back and he goes, you know, was my speech that powerful? And we just laughed because, you know, it was like, you know, it's like being in church and folks get overtaken by the spirit and fall out. He fell out. The spirit of Bernie hit him and he just fell out. So, you know, that's the Bernie effect. But he hit on.
He fell out. He'll call it the spirit, you know.
It was the spirit. Yeah, it was the all he had to do was do. If he had went in a Benny Hinn mode, I would have been done. If he did a Benny Hinn, I would have been hollering. But
I feel it was,
if he did that, I would be done. Or Reverend Ike. Now I think Reverend, he could pull out some Reverend Ike there, and, you know, get the red prayer cloth. And you know, for those who don't know Reverend Ike, he used to send you a red prayer cloth. You just send him whatever you got in your wallet. But he talked, but Bernie went through the whole gamut. He went from youth employment to money and politics to another big line, equal pay for women. He talked about his family values versus GOP family values, which is really, really good, because one of the things, you know, Scout, you and I know working elections, one of the things you want to do is you want to draw the contrast between your candidate and the other one. And that was something that he's starting to pivot and do that more and more. I do have a special plea for those who are out there with the Bernie groups on social media. Some of y'all, I feel your passion, and I understand you don't like Mrs. Clinton, and I'm not telling you you shouldn't like her. That's on you. But some of y'all got to calm down with the attacks, okay, because some of it out there is just downright nasty. If y'all could just contrast how Bernie stands out from Hillary instead of attacking, because that really doesn't do any good. And just like they're asking you, you know, are you going to vote for Hillary if she makes it in the general? You're going to need some of them to vote for Bernie, vice versa. So, you know, I'm just asking, do this for mommy. Calm down a little bit, people. Just please, please, just a little bit. I'm not saying lose your passion. It's not what you say, it's how you say it. I can tell you how to kiss my behind in about 60 different ways, but at the end of the day, I'm telling you to kiss my behind. So be a little bit creative in your wording. Tap into your passive aggressiveness. But let's just calm down, you know. I don't know the woman personally. I really, you know, I don't like her in terms of a candidate, but I've never met the woman, so I can't, you know. I can't, but, you know, and at this rate, I probably won't. There's probably dartboards of your face, my face, all over Democratic Party offices, and they just throwing darts at us all day. But that's okay, because we love it.
I've been not walking to the DPG offices to see my face.
Security. They're going to call security and get you out. But you know what? You.
Even though I feel the burn, I love my DPG.
Bless your little heart.
A little bit over 5 years now. And, you know, other than this, you know, when we dealing with these candidates and we got folks who want to, you know, sell out, but, other than that, we have a good time. We get together when it comes down, because we fight really hard when it comes to electing people to the state house, state senate. We fight real hard. We're talking about speaking of state senate. I don't get it twisted and everybody get us. If you live in DeKalb, Rockdale, or Newton County,
yeah,
there's a special election December 1st. And I need to go ahead and put that out there because, we got another show coming up Sunday, but I want to make sure that I keep putting that out there. This is a very important election. There's a Republican
right.
in this run. And if the Republicans get this seat, they can
have a supermajority. It'll bring back the supermajority in the Georgia State House, and we all know what that looks like. You know, the Democrats just got it back.
We don't push back the supermajority in the House. We got to hold the line in the Senate. So, and for people who don't understand what that means here in Georgia, if they have a supermajority in either house, that means they pass nothing and they don't have to talk to one Democrat. They ain't got to get us on their side for nothing. We can't make no amendments, no nothing. They don't need us. They just do what they want to, and we just sitting there looking, twiddling our thumbs and can't stop them. So please go out and vote.
I remember going down to the Capitol. I forgot who it was. I was like, why do y'all bother even showing up? You might as well just phone this in. Because they was running roughshod over the Democrats. And there were a few handfuls who would show up and try to hold it down, you know. But it was kind of sad to see. So, you know.
Revolution about.
But they got to learn how to fight. I told you, Scout, I told you a thousand times, you need to send the whole DPG to Sparta. They need to learn how to fight.
We can't elect Bernie Sanders to be president of the United States if he doesn't have a Congress that's going to work with him. And even if he passes federal legislation, we need governors and state legislatures that will be supportive of what the federal government is attempting to do to alleviate some of our hurt. And then we got to have county commissions and city councils who are willing to do the right thing. I ain't saying that we on the left got to take over everything, because there has to be a balance. Because some things we want to do on the left, we don't need to do it. We need it done, but there got to be some moderation to it. And just like with the right, there's some things that they say that ain't a whole bunch of it. Ain't a whole bunch. But there's a couple of things that they talk about on their side that we can get down with if it wasn't so extreme, and we water that down till it brings it to a balance. But we got to do better. If we go fight this political revolution, we got to be able to back Bernie up from all the way from 1600 all the way down to the state capitol and all the way down to your county municipal buildings and city halls. So December 1st, remember, District 43, if you're in DeKalb, Rockdale, or Newton County, help us hold the line and elect Tanya Anderson to be your next state senator. And I approve that message. So.
Okay.
All right.
You heard it from Scout. You heard it straight from him. So you guys know what to do. And if there's anybody who was at the rally who wants to call in and tell us what they how they felt or just how you feel in the burn, call us at 657-383-0995. We'll be on for another 30 minutes. But speaking of which, a lot of people have been coming up to me like, I'm feeling the burn. What can I do? And I'm going to tell y'all some of the things you can do right now. You can do phone banking. There's phone banking going on, and right now they're calling the early primary states. They're calling Vermont. They're calling Nevada. They're calling South Carolina. They're going to start adding on Georgia and other states, but they are in desperate need of folks to do phone banking. There's going to be a day of action, from what I understand, on the 1st, December 1st, and they're targeting colleges. But you can do them. You don't have to wait till the first. You can do it now. And there is, if you have not been to the Bernie Sanders volunteer toolbox or the site to look, they've got a wealth of information up there, guides. As an activist, you know, I'm thinking, people are like, oh, what can we do? And I'm thinking, I got to type all this stuff up or dig in my little bag of tricks. They got everything right there. Whoever is putting that site up, they're doing a fantastic job. But if you want to do phone banking, and there's trainings, it's using a system that's similar to the VAN system, which is a program that political campaigns use to manage data. You can go to BernieSanders.com/phone bank and go there. There's a list of the trainings. There's also, you can do them at any time in your home. All you need is an internet connection, a phone. You can use, it's preferable to use, you know, you can use your earbuds that came with your phone, or if you have a headset, but it's kind of easier to do hands-free because you have to enter responses in the computer that you're getting. These are informational calls, and you're not calling to debate these people. Phone banking is kind of an art where you pull data. And right now they're pulling data so that they can identify voters. They want to know if you're already on Team Bernie or if you're undecided so that they know how to best do their resources. So if you, that's one way people can help out. Canvassing. No one knows your neighborhood better than you. You know where the voters are. You know who needs to get certain information. Get out there, these early voting states. If you're in Georgia, you have until February 1st, if you have not registered to vote, or if you have not changed your voter registration. I moved, so I have to change everything. Plus, I lost my wallet. That's a long story. So if you have moved since the last election, if you are in the same county, you can go to your old precinct. If you have moved to another county, you must re-register in order to vote, and you must do that by February 1st. The Georgia primaries are March the 1st. Do not sleep on this, people. You have to vote twice. You have to come out in March. You also have to come out in November. The March is the primaries, is who determines who goes in November.
Let's back that up. We got to vote three times next year.
Oh, yeah.
Because
yeah,
you have your presidential primaries in March. Then we have regular primaries for everything else, like state house and all that, in May. Then
right.
We got
okay, my bad. See, that's why I have you.
So we want to make sure and you vote. And all every opportunity you get, you need to go vote. There's always, always an election somewhere in the state of Georgia. Always.
And these special, and there's been a lot of special elections that have been going on. And traditionally, if a vote is not, if an election is not in November, you're going to have low turnout. And this is how folks slide into the home plate. And so for particularly those in DeKalb and Newton County, you know, we need to step up and vote. Yay!
Let's go ahead and let's see who we got here. Welcome,
hello.
Caller.
Hello.
How you?
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, this is Philly Myers from Savannah.
Philly!
What's going on?
I'm sorry I'm late. I just got the message, and here I am.
You're never late. You're always on time. You are always on time. It was so good to meet you when you came up for the Fight for 15 rally. Philly Myers down in Savannah, strong labor advocate, fellow Brooklynite, got mad love for you, Philly. Philly, you were there in Savannah, right, for the Bernie rally?
Was I there?
Of course
I was there. Where else would I be?
All right, so tell us about the Savannah rally.
Okay, so it was originally scheduled for Savannah Station, which seats 500. Well, after 2 days, it quickly became clear that it wasn't going to be enough room, so they put it in the Civic Center, the Savannah Civic Center, which seats 2,500.
Wow.
The place was packed. It was standing room only. People were in the fire aisles. It was 2,800 people there. I'm not exaggerating.
Wow.
We probably would have gone to the arena section, but there was some event already scheduled there with cheerleaders or something. Young cheerleaders had a contest. Anyway, 27, Bernie brought tears to my eyes. Oh, I'm getting choked up now. He brought tears to my eyes on several occasions. You know, Bernie's from my neighborhood in Brooklyn. Forget about it.
What's your neighborhood in Brooklyn?
My neighborhood is Bensonhurst. I'm only exaggerating when I say he's from my neighborhood. He's from Brooklyn.
He's from Brooklyn. That's right. That's all you got to say. He's from Brooklyn. That's how we roll.
Okay, great. So, you know, he's a neighborhood guy. We got to vote for Bernie.
We do. We really do.
I love it.
I have been working down here. Hello?
No, we're still here. Go ahead.
Okay. I have been working down here since 2010 for a progressive agenda like Bernie's been talking about. I worked that way when I was in the unions up in New York till I retired. But I got to tell you something. You go through the work, you go through the demonstrations, you pass out leaflets, you raise awareness, and you wonder if anybody's even paying attention, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I got to tell you, 2,700 people in Savannah? Unheard of. Like Bernie said, I always thought this was a conservative state.
Well, you know, and you hit on something, you know, it's just stunning because you and I, we've done events, and, like, if you get 10 people to show up, you feel like a rock star. So when
you
see these
right,
people,
yeah.
When you see people show up and in the droves that they did, and people were coming from all parts of the state to both Savannah and the Atlanta rally, and like you said,
uh-huh.
It brings tears to your eyes. And you know you're witnessing something special. So what were some of the issues that had people standing up down in Savannah?
Every issue statement that Bernie Sanders pronounced, I mean every single one of them that he pronounced, people stood up and cheered. From the minimum wage to women's rights to voting rights to civil rights to the poor, the weak, the downtrodden, to the immigration, to the Syrian issue. Come on, you know this guy is a people's candidate.
He's the real
Forget
deal.
Forget about the democratic socialist, the republicanist. This guy is for the people of this country.
And, you know, like Killer Mike said, after sitting down with him for 5 hours, he was like, the man's been working for us for 50 years. And, you know, one of the things that he did here in Atlanta, you know, he visited, you know, here we have the King site where Dr. King and Coretta Scott King are buried. And he talked about the legacy that not just those who live in Atlanta, but the state of Georgia, we are all holders of that legacy. We have a duty to uphold that and lift it and carry it on. And he did some wonderful tie-ins here in Atlanta to, you know, the need for voting rights and human rights. And it was just a really, really great speech. He talked about inequality and how one of the last things Dr. King was working on was, you know, the Poor People's Campaign, which actually brought labor and social justice together. He realized the importance of labor in the economic justice fight, and Bernie gets that, and he tied it in beautifully in the speech here in Atlanta. He also talked about pay equity for women. That kind of brought that got a lot of standing ovations. But And he also talked about the need for family and medical leave, which is really important. And when you see somebody like, you know, when you hear Paul Ryan talking about, yeah, well, you know, I really don't know if I'm going to take the speaker's job because I want to spend more time with my kids. And we're like, really? You know, really? You know, and I'm sitting up here, you know, we're sending so many mixed messages to people, you know. There's people out here who are working 2-3 jobs just to make up the one job that they lost. And then they ask them, well, how come you don't have time to spend with your kids and why, you know, why you're in daycare? I can't afford it. You know, so it was a really great speech. So I'm glad that you guys down in Savannah felt the same thing we did. So you were really surprised to see all those people come up?
Oh, my God. I was stunned. First of all, I got there at 4 o'clock. The doors didn't open until 5 o'clock. I got there at 4 o'clock, and the lines were already out the door.
Wow.
And then I had to go move my car, so I looked around. The lines were all the way around the Civic Center to the front door. The place was mobbed. I was fortunate enough that I had somebody that I was with that was disabled, and they had a seat for me saved in the front. But as I was walking in, one of the young staffers said to me, because I was wearing my Bernie T-shirt, my Bernie hat, my Bernie buttons, my Bernie stickers, you know. She says, well, who are you voting for? No, I'm only kidding. she says, you're a Bernie supporter. How would you like to sit on the stage? I said, oh, fantastic. But as it turned out, they didn't have room for me on the stage. So.
Oh, man. Yeah,
but as I'm on the stage, I had 4 or 5 people yell out from the audience, hey, Billy, hey, Billy. Yeah, so I know my people were there, and that's great. You know, you mentioned the Martin Luther King Parade. I tell you what we're doing down here in Savannah. This year, my vice president of the retirees is spearheading a resurrection of the Poor People's Campaign for Martin Luther King. He's going to have a horse and buggy, and he's going to have signage, and he's going to have a walking unit. And right behind him is going to be the Chatham County Democratic Committee in a trolley with 4 massive banners pushing to raise the minimum wage to a living wage, $15 a fight, that sort of thing. Right behind us is the Bernie crowd. They're going to have a walking contingent. And right behind them is the Savannah Regional Central Labor Council. They're going to have their own float, and they're going to be pushing jobs. So there's going to be 5 sections of us take up a block or two, you know? We got to push
man.
This stuff.
Yeah, well, you know what? Send me anything you have, and I'll help push it out. But that is fantastic. You know, I have never been to Savannah. Scout, we're going to have to do a road trip.
You've never been to Savannah?
I have been in Georgia about 30 years. I have not been to Savannah ever. I've never been to Savannah. And I see the
people. You gave them road trips and me and Rad was taking.
I was up here holding it down. Y'all were out there going on the field trips. Y'all left me here in Atlanta. So, I know, right? You know, that's how Scout does, you know. But I'm glad you guys are doing that. Where can people, our listeners, get information about what's going on MLK Day down there in Savannah?
Okay, so I don't have a spot for you, but if you contact me, this is Stacy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So, Stacy, if you contact me, I think I have your email, but if not, you can message me, or I'll message you. If I find out how you can track it, because we're just handing in our money now, and we gotta schmouse them a little bit to get the spots that we want, because we want the 5 units in a row. That's the impact. It's gonna start with the Poor People's Campaign, work its way through, and end up with labor looking for jobs. We need jobs and money. You know, a lot of the problems that we face, if we had real jobs and real pay with real benefits, it would solve almost all of those problems.
Right, and nobody, I don't think, you know, the right understands this. We really, you know, we're thankful for the safety net, but we don't want to use the safety net. People want jobs. People
safety
want
net.
To.
What
right,
safety
you
net?
Know, the,
what safety net? They've been cutting
they got
that
holes
and,
in
and
it.
Shredding that left and right.
But, you know, people don't want to be getting food stamps. People want to work and be able to earn their own money. And that's the part that's so, and it's like, we need jobs. We need, you got rid of all of the jobs. You decimated the manufacturing sector, you know, with these trade deals. You got rid of the, you waged war on public sector and union jobs. Where are we supposed to work at? And then you want to turn around and call me a lazy slob, and I don't know where they see it because I see these people every day trying to catch that first bus smoking to get to work or to school. So, you know, it's really stunning. But I'm really glad to see Democrats taking up the fight for 15. Phil, if you missed us earlier, you know there's going to be two bills dropping in the Georgia House and Senate. One is by Dewey McClain, Atlanta, North Georgia Labor Council. He's a representative. I forgot the number of his district up in Gwinnett. And State Senator Vincent Ford is dropping a companion bill. So get your people fired up to get ready to push this up. The new session starts, what is it, January 11th, I think? And they usually have the Wild Hog Supper that Sunday night before. If no one's aware of what the Wild Hog Supper is, it's kind of a tradition. You never heard of the Wild Hog Supper?
Never heard of the Wild Hog Supper. But then again, I'm Jewish. I'm not allowed to eat pork.
Well, you can come and nosh on some other.
You there?
Yeah, I'm here. I thought
yes,
I lost
you.
No, you can hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay. Yeah, come on up, and we'll have some, there's some great Jewish delis up here. I'll make sure to have you some stuff. If not, I'll order some stuff from Cat's Deli.
Listen, I eat bacon, I eat pork, I eat whatever's available. But just don't tell a rabbi.
Shellfish,
shrimp, lobster, yeah, all of that good stuff.
Okay, well, all right, well, we got you then. I won't. It's between you and us. No, we'll never tell. We'll never tell. But Wild Hog Supper, if you guys can come up here, it's open to the public. It is a gathering that usually kicks off the start of the legislation session.
And when is that, in January?
Yes, in January. It's at the underground, what is it, the Freight Depot? They usually have it. I'll put it up. I'll send it to you, and we'll get it up on the Down South and Dirty Facebook page. If you can come, it's a great way to meet all. It's the one time everybody acts kind of decent to each other, and it's a chance for you to meet with your constituents and things like that before the session starts. So if you can make it to Atlanta on January the 10th, I believe it is. It's a Sunday.
January the 10th. Okay.
Yeah, okay.
I'm bringing a carload of people up.
Okay, I'll put the link out. Now, you know it ain't free, so. Yeah,
I know that. Yeah,
so we'll get it out there.
Good.
And
I promise you. January 10th, I'm coming. I won't have to worry about snow, right?
Oh, God, no. Don't say that, because I got stuck in that snow jam, and I'm still traumatized from that. You know, please. And I'm sitting up there screaming, it's just snow, people. You don't know how to drive in snow. It's just snow. You know, I'm used to driving in 12, 13 inches of snow, and I was like, you punk.
Right. Yeah.
So, but we're not going to say the S word, please. But so how did everybody feel leaving, you know, what was the vibe after the rally? Were people, like, really hyped up and ready to go?
Okay, so what happened after the rally? I walked out 5 minutes before the end of the Bernie Sanders speech because I didn't want to fight the crowds. I was all the way in the front of the, you know, down by Bernie Sanders. My partner stayed with me, that was with me, she stayed to shake Bernie Sanders' hand. Okay. So I'm outside. Aww. Somebody comes to me and said, Philly, can you get rid of these? They were newspapers from South Carolina for the Bernie campaign, right? So I'm an old newspaper guy out of New York. So I'm standing there, extra, extra, read all about it. Bernie wins the campaign. Bernie wins the election.
I love
and
it.
I must have gotten rid of 1,000 of them. Everybody was grabbing them, you know? And they
do
were free.
Do you have any left? Please tell me
I
you have
not.
One left.
I have.
Wow.
I have
That's
no
a great
left.
Idea.
But it's, I'm working on getting more of them. These were for South Carolina. They were specific for South Carolina. They had South Carolina contact, South Carolina address, and so forth. I'm going to try to get some for Georgia.
That's a great idea.
I mean, they're only a four-page newspaper, right? One fold.
Mm-hmm.
So, surely, if they can print those for South Carolina, all you got to do is just change the typesetting. With the computer and bingo, I got the Georgia ones. I'll get them. Stacy, I promise you.
Okay. Well, while we got you on the line, let's ask, Scout, I need to ask this. Now, from what I understand, Mayor Edna Jackson introduced Bernie. What is going on down there? Because I'm reading some stuff. It's getting kind of ugly down there with that race.
Okay. Before we go into the race, let me tell you that I have never heard Edna Jackson so passionate introducing anybody. And when she introduced Bernie Sanders, she took 5 minutes, and I'm telling you, she went from the 1960s up to the present day, and she was fighting for the minimum wage to go up, you know, a living wage, $15 a fight. I mean, I said, is this the Edna Jackson that I know? Now she's in a race. She's in a race against a Republican. I know it's a nonpartisan race, but I know this guy's to be a Republican. As a matter of fact, there's three runoff races. And look here, Edna's had some problems in the past. She hasn't always done everything right. But damn, I'd rather have Edna. At least I could talk to Edna. You know, this other guy, he wants to run Savannah government like it's a business. You know, I heard that back in the 80s with the Ronald Reagan crowd. You know, how'd that work out for us?
Yeah.
Not too good.
Go ahead, Scout.
That didn't work out so good. So, no, we don't need nobody running governments like businesses because They'll run government into the ground.
Yeah.
Well, it's two different models. You know, businesses exist only to enrich, you know, create profit for the company
and to
satisfy the shareholders. That goes in, that is in diametrically opposed to the common good and for the people. So, you know,
I always thought government was for the common good. I mean, I thought that's what the government was about.
In theory, yes. But, you know, it's just like we got some defective parts in the system, and they're clogging up the works, and we got to get them out. So it sounds like you guys had a fantastic time down in
We sure did.
There were people. We had people in Atlanta. It reminded me of the Obama race. There were people outside the Fox on the Ponce de Leon side. It was like a mini bazaar. Talk about Bernie being an economic stimulus. They were selling T-shirts. They were selling all kinds of stuff out there.
For Bernie?
I was like, they were selling Bernie merchandise.
They had a little stand here selling that stuff, too.
But it wasn't the campaign.
Well, I was giving away newspapers. They were selling stuff.
Yeah,
but
they were out there.
I don't know who they were. I mean, they may have been with the campaign, but the truth is I think that they were from India or Pakistan, and they just saw an opportunity to make a few dollars. I didn't go over to the booth. I didn't buy anything. I always like to buy my things with the union label on it, you know?
Yes, I know. Hey, since we have you on the phone and we talked about, we had a show that we had to cut short. We had
You're breaking
Stacey,
up.
You cut out again, honey.
Can you hear me now? I won't move.
I can hear you. Yes.
Okay. All right, Philly. We talked about on Sunday, we were talking about the unions and the SEIU endorsement along. What do you feel about that?
What do you feel about it? Now think about it. All the SEIU and the organization that they're doing to build a $15 minimum wage, right?
Right.
Okay, so they're working with the fast food workers all over the country. Those fast food strikes that are going on, that's all the SEIU. So
right.
They want $15. Barack Obama last year said $10.
And we said
Hillary Clinton is saying $12.
And we're saying hell no.
That's right. We're saying it's 15 or fight. So
15
in
the union.
Yeah, 15 in the union. Well, that's where the fight comes in. Anyway.
Fight. I like that better.
You know, the SEIU, it's funny, but it seems to me that it's the same problem that I had when I was in the union for 23 years up in New York, and that is that the leadership is out of sync with the membership. The membership
Amen.
Wants to do this, that, okay? And the leadership is more conservative. So they look upon the candidacy of Hillary Clinton and say, look, she's got the money behind her. She's got all the leadership behind her. Let's go with her. But they didn't consult the members. If they consulted the members would have told them Bernie Sanders.
Yeah. Yeah, I think everybody was like, what the hell are y'all doing? And it was kind of, you know.
Now, that was a question that I wanted to ask Jim Nichols, and I'm going to ask you, Philip. It would have made sense to me that when the union, what the union is about collective bargaining and this, that, and the other, and bringing the voice of the workers together, it would seem like the unions would call a vote before they would endorse somebody, just like they would if we were going to go on strike. You would call a vote. So that
why
doesn't
not?
Happen.
Why not? Why wouldn't they call a vote? Well,
they did have a vote. It just wasn't with the members.
And the AFT had the same problem. The IBEW had the same problem. You know, the leadership can tell the rank and file, this is what we think. But it's the rank and file, ultimately, that has the last say. And they'll go back and they're going to vote this guy Bernie Sanders in. I believe it. In my heart of hearts, I believe that we are going to win.
Yeah.
We are.
I believe that we can win. I believe that we can win.
That's right.
That's
and you
it?
Know why? Because we haven't sold our souls yet. The leadership has. They've sold their souls. You can't tell me that some of these conservative guys are not in bed with management. I know for a fact that they are.
See? Philly gets it. It's the Brooklyn. Okay. Well, Philly, I want to thank you for calling in. It's been a pleasure talking to you. And
thanks
send
for
me
having
that
me.
Stuff, and I'll help you get it out. We'll have to have you on again. And, Scout, you want to take us on out?
Yeah. So, everybody, this was straight out of Georgia, the Down South and Dirty primetime special. We'll see y'all again on Sunday. Stay tuned to see what we're going to be talking about. And, everybody, have a wonderful Thanksgiving. Eat plenty of turkey. And, please, do not fight with your conservative relatives at the dinner table. Just put them at the kids' table where they deserve to be. Just down south and dirty.
Yeah.
We out.
Peace.
Peace. Peace out.